I think the system benefits from us staying asleep, and what I'm trying to do is figure out how to wake up. Welcome back to episode 9 of The Break Breakdown. The last few episodes have all been interview episodes with our incredible cast from Screen Test, but today it's just going to be me. And I have something super fun to talk about. It doesn't really sound fun on paper, but I think it is. I want to talk about consumerism, capitalism, and waking up from the trance of social media, which feels like a lot. It's definitely not something that I could cover in 30 minutes, and it's definitely something that I would love to talk with other people about. So as you're listening to this, if you have any thoughts, or experiences and you want to chime in, please leave me a message on anchor.fm/thebreakbreakdown. You can just click on leave a message. That link is also in the show notes. And tell me your thoughts, because this is really an interesting moment in time that we're in. So just a little bit about Screen Test. It's essentially the intersection. This short film is about the intersection between social media and the fitness world. So okay, here's the connect slash disconnect I've had with social media. For my day job, I have done a lot of marketing. I've done a lot of social media work. I've worked with influencers. I've been doing that work for, I want to say, like 5 years or so, maybe a little bit more, freelancing. And, you know, on a personal level, I've been fascinated with social media. Like everyone else, you know, I want to connect. I want to see what my friends are up to. I want to see places in the world and experiences that I don't see in my, you know, 10 block radius in Queens. But I also have this disconnect in that sometimes I just don't get what we're doing. Like when Snapchat first came out, one of my best friends and one of the producers on this project said to me, "Oh my gosh, Courtney, with all you're doing with your book promotion," this was back when I was promoting my book the first 10 years, "and all this, like, people just love you on Snapchat. You should, you know, get on there." And I couldn't, like, I didn't get it right away. I was like, I don't get what this is. Like, people want to see what I'm eating. I don't understand this. And you know, we kind of laughed about it. I was like, why do people care? I don't get why people care. And I think that's still the question that I ask myself whenever I post anything. Why would someone else care about this? And, you know, it's the question I ask myself when I'm scrolling and I'm seeing things that I don't care about that all of a sudden I have an intense emotional reaction to, as if I've cared about it my entire life, you know? So checking social media, I've begun to realize, and maybe realize isn't the right word, but I've begun to put words to this feeling that I get with social media, which is that it flattens us. It flattens everything out. You know, it takes the context of life and crushes it into something like, you know, a number or a percentage. It's deflating things, you know, so it's easier to swallow. But the truth is that life is rich and messy and complicated and really difficult to condense into something consumable. You know, we're spending our whole lives figuring out who we are and what this whole thing is about. So in kind of trying to square that circle, people on social media have co-opted this word authentic. And it's a word that really came up for me in a lot of writing of Screen Test, and then is actually in one of the lines in Screen Test. And it, you know, this word authentic, people, I remember back in 2015 or so when I was like, okay, I have 300 Instagram followers and I really need to get to 10,000, because at that time, so maybe it was actually 2013, 2014, I had been pitching my book around, and you know, people were like, yeah, great, this is a really interesting concept, but we don't know who you are, so you need at least 10,000 followers before we're going to pick up your book and publish it. So in that process, I was like, okay, well, you know, screw it, let's get to 20,000. Let me do everything that I can. And I had like, you know, 150 or something at that time, 300. And I remember like really being obsessed with hashtags and really trying to figure out the layout and the feed and my colors and my presets and all of that. And one of the hashtags that I used was that authentic feeling. And I mean, whatever. I've probably used it in the past year too. So please don't take anything that I'm saying as if I'm above any of this. I am wholly and fully entrenched. But it's good to be able to still look at it, even if we're down in the mud. So this whole thing about that authentic feeling, authentic life, living authentic, this is me just posting my authentic selfie of me crying about some real thing and then trying to wedge it onto this platform that works on algorithms. And, you know, it's just like it makes me go crazy. And it's like you use the word authentic as if just using that word is going to kind of disentangle your post from the nature of social media, which is still and always to make our lives as neatly consumable as possible. So this idea of consumption is really fascinating to me right now, and a huge kind of theme in Screen Test. So I'm exploring, and I want to explore in further works, what is our relationship to consumption? What is it about? Why are we so obsessed with it? And I was in a class the other night talking, and I fell onto this thought that I must have heard somewhere or, you know, learned at one point, and it just like came like a siren in my brain, which is we've been infantilized as a people by consumerism. We want everything to be fixed with a purchase. And I can tell you, speaking of me being entrenched in this, yesterday, my daughter Elle would not take a nap. I did every trick in the book, and we spent about 2.5 hours trying to get her to sleep, and she wouldn't sleep. And I had a bunch of things piling up that I had to do, and I was getting stressed out, so I manically purchased like 4 candles from Target same day delivery. And you know what? It did kind of help me feel better. And I'm not saying that consumerism in and of itself is bad. I'm actually not making a judgment, good or bad, either way. I'm just fascinated, as I said, about how we've used consumerism to cope. And this is not just me in a more lighthearted moment of like, oh, my child won't nap and I'm going crazy. It's in like every wash across the spectrum from small to big moments. We feel bad. We consume something, right? So what do we feel bad about? I don't know. The anxiety of the coronavirus pandemic, the lack of adequate health care, the uncertainty of our jobs, especially at this time. But I mean, to be honest, for as long as I've been out of school, we had the Great Recession, which was fun. And then up until now, I don't know a single person my age whose job has ever been super secure. And then all of that, you know, leads to loneliness, I think. I think it all leads to loneliness because the feeling of being a human is wonderful, but it's also confusing and chaotic and hypocritical and flawed, you know, and it's nebulous. We're trying our entire lives to understand it. And we live in a culture, at least I live in New York City in the United States of America in the year of our Lord, 2020. I live in a culture that isn't okay with confusing, isn't okay with nebulous, isn't okay with anything that seems disordered. And, you know, we don't allow imperfection to be part of the rich journey forward in our lives, right? We don't feel good with that. And this is in part because perfectionism and urgency and, you know, working all the time and hustle, hustle, hustle. All of these things are characteristics of a white supremacist culture that pushes forward a capitalist way of thinking. Okay, I know we're down in the weeds. I'm saying white supremacy. I'm talking about capitalism. Oh my God, she's going crazy. She loves Bernie. She's a crazy socialist. I know. I mean, I'm not, but, you know, I'm trying to have this conversation in the context of social media. So like, that's where we're living right now in this moment. So whether or not you buy into capitalism, right? And it's your right to buy into it or not. There are people that are like, yes, I believe in the free market system. I believe that it can work. Great. At the highest level, if it can work at the highest level for the highest good, great. That's one way to do it. But I think that we have to talk about all of this and how it plays into, you know, all these cultural, I don't know if mores is the right word. Is mores the right word? I know someone, I hope, is nodding somewhere saying, yes, it's the right word. It sounds right, but it might not be right. Anyway, all of these cultural kind of habits that we have of honoring perfectionism, honoring urgency, all of this is helpful towards the larger system at play, which is capitalism. If we profit, if we succeed, if we outdo, if we win, all of these things are the essential point of capitalism, right? Because if you do all those things, you'll make money. And capital is the point of capitalism. It's kind of, you know, like in the word. So I promise you I'm getting back to social media. So in a world where things are untidy and disordered and chaotic, and we can't see our family and friends, and health is an issue and jobs are an issue, and you know, racist white supremacy is an issue and all this stuff, we feel lonely. And what a capitalist society will do is make you feel like it's just you feeling this. You know, because it's that rugged individualism, like, well, everyone has a fair shot, which is, you know, like proven statistically and anecdotally to be untrue. That's not true. Not everyone has a fair shot here in the USA. So we start to take on the idea that it's us, that it's just me feeling this way. You know, something's wrong with me. I feel like a fraud because I haven't made enough money. I feel like a fraud because I'm too far behind. I don't have the education that I was supposed to get somehow, even though it cost me like $250,000, you know. And we just keep feeling like I did something wrong. I don't have what I need. And not only this, right? Those are kind of imagined realities, but then there's the reality of discrimination, racism, systemic racism and injustice. So you have two things happening at the same time, whether it's state-sponsored racism or a general feeling of detachment from your village and the connection to people, or a mixture of both. We are lonely. We are lonely. Consumerism tells us that the only way to not feel lonely is to consume and to feel better by consumption and play back into the market. Enter social media. Okay, so clearly I watched The Social Dilemma, and I don't know if you've watched it or not. I am not a huge fan of the dramatizations, but that aside, and that's just my taste. They did a great job, but it's not my cup of tea. But besides that, you know, it's an important thing to watch, I think, just to have a little more background on what's going on whenever we log into these sites. And I think everyone's basically gotten the point now without the movie that we're the product. You know, they say if you're not paying for the product, you are the product. I think we all get that to a point. But what I didn't realize and what drove me nuts from the movie is learning that my actual behavior is manipulated. Because if they can manipulate my behavior, they can predict my behavior, they can sell that prediction, they can make money. So It's not just a passive, like, hopefully Courtney buys these Pampers diapers. It's, we're going to show this, then that, then this, then this, this, and that, so that she will then buy these Pampers diapers. So I saw this actually last night on my feed. I went on Facebook and I saw this nice post from someone who is really, really, really periphery in my life. Like, I really don't know them that well, but we have very different politics. So I see a nice post from this person. Then I see a post from one of my close friends who I really politically align with, saying something that I politically align with. And then the next post is of that first person again, who I don't really know, saying something just really silly and ignorant. And what happens? My blood pressure spikes because it starts with, I'm going to warm you up and you're seeing this person, and then I'm going to get you riled up by your friend, and then I'm going to lay in with like this ignorant thing that this person said that honestly like had my fingers like itching to type a response. And I had to close my computer and just be like, no, this is not, in no other world would I be having the conversation with this person. I am not needing to give over my energy to a Facebook comment that isn't going to change his mind. And, you know, to be honest, there are a lot more, there are many other places where I could be pouring in my energy and my thoughts. So anyway, I'm just saying it's a very simple example, and I feel like it's almost silly to even talk about because everyone goes through this. Everyone has these moments on social where they're just like, I really want to get into this fight, or I really want to chime in, but yeah, no, I'm not going to. But it's different for me now that I realize that it is a very targeted algorithm trying to make you do something and literally changing behavior that had I not gone onto the site, I would not be behaving that way. That's what's crazy, right? So now we're trapped in this cycle of thought that's not just pushing us toward consumption, right? Because we're lonely, we're sad, we're angry, we're full of rage. So it's not just pushing us toward trying to solve all of those feelings with consumption. It's now manipulating our behavior to actually change us from the outside in. So all of this is happening in social media. All of this is happening on Instagram and Facebook and I don't know. What are the other ones? Is Snapchat still a thing? TikTok's like, we don't know where TikTok is going. It's gone in the US or something like that. Anyway, in all these different spaces, this is what's happening. So when you cross-reference that phenomenon with the wellness and the fitness industry, this is the space in which screen test begins. This is the fertile ground for these five characters to come into a screen test, trying to audition for a reality TV show that could change their lives, which is maybe the ultimate expression of social media in a way. So all of this is kind of laying the groundwork for Jason, who's the young, sweet little Jason from Minnesota, who is completely non-discerning of anything and just smiling ear to ear, ready to go, will do anything you tell me. Then there's Kenny, who's the somewhat bitter but trying musical theater nerd who wants to break through the algorithm of this social media world and this fame world and this celebrity and being known, and just like can't do it, keeps coming up against a wall. There's the fitness influencer who has almost 200,000 follows, but she's made this whole kind of persona off of her sheer unshakable confidence, and she's kind of over it, and she kind of thinks everyone's being super silly. Then there's the Caroline, who's the fitfluencer who we love to hate. You know, she plays every game, she buys any follower she can, she's all about those paid partnerships. You know, she's the person that we can't unfollow, even though we really need to unfollow her. And then finally, there's Olivia, our hero, who is a fitness instructor who's just really wants to do some good and connect in a really authentic way, not in a hashtaggy way, but in a real way. And she can't find a way into this that's impactful because she doesn't really play the game. So all five of these people, when I wrote it, are me, obviously. You know, maybe not, maybe it's not obvious. I don't know. Everyone's writing process is different, but you know, they say write what you know. So anytime there's something a little cringy, I've probably done it. you know, I've been each one of these characters at different points, not over the years, but over a week, you know, over a day. And I'm interested in how we can explore these human beings, you know, on a scale with context, on a scale with humanity and with depth, which is why, part of the reason why I wrote this short film and why I'm really excited about sharing it. You know, the screen test is not necessarily structured in a traditional way. Part of that was strategic, and part of that, you know, was more artistic. The strategy part of it was I needed it to be simple to film. And I talked about this in one of the first few episodes. Like, I needed it to be easy to film. I needed it to be as straightforward as possible because I had literally no experience, and I was just trying to make it so that I had to shoot it. I couldn't find any way out. But you know, the other part of that is I have been wanting to change the conversations that I've been having in my life around certain things, just like our hero Olivia says she wants to do. I still don't know why anyone wants to see my food online. I mean, and whatever, maybe that's just my thing. Like, I'm not into it, but I'm into, you know, watching this really amazing teacher dance at, you know, Broadway Dance Center and all of his classes. I'm really into that, where someone who's like, no, show me pasta. And also, by the way, I do follow, what is it called? I think it's called Misi. I might be pronouncing it wrong. It's in Williamsburg. It's this really good Italian place. And I found it on Instagram and it looks amazing. And I found it right before we went into lockdown. So I haven't tried it yet, but I want to go so bad. So never mind. Okay. I've just refuted my whole point. I definitely do follow pasta. I understand why people want to follow pasta. I'll just say my pasta and my food never looks as good as this restaurant's. I'm off track. I'm getting back on. I realized in talking with LaWanda on episode 7, I think it was, that my competition and anxiety comes out online, but not when I'm with people. So if I'm in the room with someone, I'm generally not competing with them. I generally have a low level of anxiety. But if I see that same person online doing literally anything, I will feel a sense of I'm behind, I suck, or any number of the things that we tell ourselves, like when we're trying to realize or kind of work through those feelings of being a fraud or the feelings of missing out and all of that. And I think that's probably true for most people. I think when we're one-on-one with people or even in a group, we're a lot kinder and a lot nicer, and we put things in context a lot more. And you know, that's not to say that we need to forgive things that are truly awful. When things are truly awful, the context supports that as well, right? But I'm just saying, like, we know that the level of our response towards the thing that's eliciting our response is matched in public. Whereas when we're on the socials, I can get really pissed off really quickly. I can get really sad really quickly. And I can get really anxious really quickly in ways that I am much more regulated in real life. So, you know, what can we do? I don't know. I've made a film to ask that question. I don't know if by the end of the film we have an answer or if we just have more questions. And I guess that's part of my answer, you know. Keep creating art and making conversations and pushing forward politics and creating worlds that allow us to ask questions that are messy and untidy and will expand us back to our full humanity. You know, we flatten ourselves, we deflate ourselves. And, you know, look, I'm not getting off social media. You probably found this podcast because of social media. You know, I will say right after I watched The Social Dilemma, I went off social media for a few days because I was just like, oh my God, I can't do it. I feel so seen. I feel so vulnerable. I feel so naked and exposed. And like, I'm just pissed off at the powers that be. And you know, what was cool about that is my whole life felt richer for those couple of days. You know, I played with my daughter in a better way. Like, I didn't have this thing hanging over me like, oh, I got to do this thing. I got to check in on this thing. I just was there without needing to document. Well, I still take a lot of pictures of her. I mean, she's super cute. So what are you going to do? But I didn't have that extra attachment of, oh, I got to post it. I got to put the right sticker on it. It was just like I took a picture of the moment and then went back to the moment. I felt like I could actually define my emotions more. Sometimes I find it really difficult to define my emotions. And in these couple of days, I felt like I was really able to clarify that, which helped me feel more in more control of my life. And, you know, I'm telling you this because I also want to tell you that I'm back on it, you know, like a couple days of that. And it was really great. I felt really good about myself. And I was like, well, I got some things to post. I'm going to poke around. And like, there's a lot of news happening right now. And I've basically bounced back to my normal levels of use. Maybe not quite as heavy as before watching The Social Dilemma, but I'm definitely tuned back in. You know, and I'm not someone who hates new technology. I'm not a Luddite. I am not against anything that's new and unknown to me. I like finding new ways of communicating and connecting. I mean, it's truly, this isn't even like supposed to be an ad, but it's why I like Anchor. I think it's cool that there's just a service there that you get to use for free, which I'm now realizing probably means I'm the product, but whatever. I still think it's cool. So I don't hate new technology and all of that, but I do think that if we are going to move forward in a way that is truly human, then we have to ask ourselves what our actions are in service of. Because most of the time, it feels to me like we're not in service of ourselves, but we're in service of the system. So again, I'm not perfect. I like my photos of pasta on Instagram. I scroll. I probably hate follow. Hate is such a strong word. I don't like to do that. But I probably follow people that I would be better off if I didn't. I should just give that a rest. So I'm struggling with it, which is why I want to have these new conversations. You know, I'm sick of the old ones. So I guess in a way that's what Screen Test is about. my confusion, my messiness, my fight with the system, even as I play into the system. And I really think that, you know, it is about fitness, and there are elements of fitness in there that is another system that I feel like I'm, you know, I have battled, or I have kind of battled is maybe too intense, but I've been at odds with. But it is really about finding your way and your voice when there's a whole tidal wave coming to wash you away. And you have to have the fortitude to just stand up for what you want the conversation to be and what you want the world to look like, because we are the creators of it. And I guess that's kind of what the breakdown is about too, you know, finding your way no matter what, because what you have to say matters, and life is richer when there's a conversation between lots of different people, and life is richer when we allow ourselves to fail, and when we allow ourselves to not know, and we allow ourselves to fall down, and we keep at it anyway. So that's it for today. I am very excited for Screen Test to come out next week on October 8th. I also sometimes want to vomit about it because, you know, another vulnerable moment. But I do have to say, a lot more people tuned into this podcast than I thought would. And I'm really grateful for you. And if you've listened to all of them or this is your first one, I am so appreciative. I think we'll probably keep this going a little bit. So stay tuned. And, you know, I hope you'll watch Screen Test on October 8th. Thanks so much. Hey, if you enjoyed this episode, the best thing that you could do is share it with someone. Either text it to a friend who might really enjoy this episode or share on social media. You can tag me at Courtney Romano or at Queensbird Films. That always goes a long way and means so much. You can also leave me a message, and I hope you do. You can do that by following the link in the show notes. Leave me a message with your thoughts on this episode or another one, some questions you want me to answer, or anything else you want me to know. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. I really appreciate it.